Isn't this a sports show?
I'm going to get back to the Anthony Sherman butt stuff in a second. What?
Almost entirely.
But I think the last topic will probably be Anthony Sherman because we know he's a nice firm end.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe, the fourth best sports talk radio personality in Kansas City.
And right now, like, I have a notification on my phone that I had successfully uploaded to Google Drive the photo called Sherman Butt.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Off to the side in a black shirt that just stands out, kind of all by yourself, is just you taking a picture of Anthony Sherman's butt.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I want to get full coverage with something that his singlet did not provide.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I should have been prepared for a new intro. I wasn't, though, because, man, there's a lot of Anthony Sherman material there, which also could probably be in the B-roll for the next intro. There's going to be a whole Anthony Sherman folder of liners, I imagine, as there should be. Today I saw another angle of me taking a different angle of the live video from some other TV station in, like, Wichita or something. I don't know. Some station that I did not recognize had video of me sneaking around and snapping a pic. Also, every time, because we have a nice group of new listeners that pop up every once in a while. Also, especially even really in those last couple of weeks, my Twitter, I've met a whole bunch of new people around training camp and everything. You may not know why I am the fourth best radio show host in Kansas City, and it is very important that you know. It's because some guy in a blog said so. That's the whole reason. Did a whole ranking. Chaboy. Numero cuatro. Because I say this every time also, we've got to get, and like a legal voice, like a legal disclaimer at the end of a car commercial, or like,
member FDIC 44609.
Where it's super sped up and...
Where it's just the fourth best radio show host in Kansas City.
According to some guy with a blog.
We can do
that's
that.
All. That's all I need. I need to write that down. That's all I need to add to that intro. But hello, if you're a new listener. Are you trying to get sound of you writing on that paper?
No.
Okay, it's not loud enough. You're not writing loud enough. You need to write louder. Perfect.
Not for industry to pay her.
Welcome to the show if you are a regular or a newbie. If you are here from the Sports Radio 810 page, Almost Entirely Sports page, or on ESPN Kansas City, which is where we originate from. Wow, could you hear that, Beards?
Yes, I did.
That was the loudest noise I've ever heard. We are here in a radio studio that is no kind of soundproof, and we welcome you aboard to this loud, loud venture. I want to start with an NFL thing, which is sort of like a national topic that's now sort of starting to roll into the national zeitgeist because of the Roquan Smith contract issue. So much noise over there.
Let's go shush them.
No, I will not. But there's a little bit of traction starting to be formed. But I was out in St. Joe on Saturday for Chiefs training camp. And after camp wrapped up, after practice wrapped up for the day, we packed up all the stuff for Sports Saturday that was out there. And then I just went into kind of like the media room on the campus out there at the college just to basically get the free food that's left out for media there and then to post some things on the different 810 pages and all that. And I was about to head out, and then the room started filling up, and then one of the Chiefs PR guys announced that the like next thing was starting. So I just sort of sat there. Just like, okay, well, I feel like I have a wristband, so I'm allowed to be here, I think. I know most of the people in this room, and some of them know me. This is going to be okay. I'll just stay here until someone tells me to leave. And then Bill Vinovich came in, who is an NFL referee. And after a solid 15 minutes of trying to get the technology to work and eventually landing on the secondary option, which felt very, very... very, very, like, new professor, first day of college kind of setup. Trying to use the projector on the fancy new, like, e-whiteboards, which is a real thing, and then eventually just moving the whiteboard and writing on the chalkboard behind it. It's basically what we ended up doing. But after a good 15 minutes of working on that, they showed a whole bunch of us Chiefs media folk this new video with the new like helmet to helmet rule and the new catch rule and the new points of emphasis on kickoffs, the new kickoff rule, and on pass interference and stuff.
There's a new catch rule?
Yes. There are a lot of new rules.
So we're going to have even more ways to bleep this up next year.
Okay, so here's the thing. I guess, do you want me to start with the positive thing? I'll start with the positive thing
sure.
for once. I don't think so. The catch rule is largely a simplification. It's still kind of complicated. There are still places where it can absolutely be bleeped up.
Which it will.
But
okay.
The language of, like, you have to maintain control of the ball through the ground, across a football move to a third step, and then a celebration in the end zone.
And then
the mowers are outside, yep. too. It's been a very loud day so far. So that rule has been simplified. It sounds like for the better. So that's good news. And I have a handful of sort of predictions about this season with the new rules and the point of emphasis and stuff. I think we're going to have better catch and non-catch calls. We're going to have some more infuriating what appears to be ticky-tack pass interference calls where a cornerback puts one hand on a receiver's shoulder 6 yards downfield and you get the flag thrown on that one. We're going to get more of those, and they're probably going to be accurately called, but they're also probably going to be kind of infuriating. I think we're going to get some borderline hilarious full weight on the quarterback calls, which is going to be infuriating, but it's also going to be for the good of the game, because if a player, you know, if Ndamukong Suh not putting his entire body on Sam Bradford's collarbone keeps Sam Bradford playing football longer, then it's better for the sport. So that's fine. It's going to be annoying when it happens to your team. Whenever Chris Jones, you know, breaks Derek Carr in two and then gets flagged for it, we're going to be furious, but it's probably in the best interest of the game. Vinovich said straight up that the reason that they're updating the pass interference and illegal contact rules is because there wasn't enough scoring and there weren't enough passing yards last year. We just said that like it was a normal thing, and I was like, wait a second, isn't that something that you say behind closed doors and in conspiracies and stuff? By the way, the PR guy ahead of time, so this is all on the record, so I'm not sharing any, like, trade secrets here. I mean, I'm sharing information. I gotta tell you, I feel pretty good. I feel like I could, like, field your questions on this and answer them because, like, I had an NFL referee explain all this to me. I got to ask clarifying questions. And so if you have questions to ask me, feel free. At JB Briscoe on Twitter or in any of these Facebook comments, Beards is trying to manage all those.
I can see two of them clearly.
Great. You have me two of the feeds, you mean?
Yes.
Fair. And so we'll manage all those as we go. If you have any questions, you can leave them in the Facebook comments, or you can tweet me. And if you tweet me after the fact, if you listen to the podcast or whatever, I'll get to them also. But the thing that stuck with me, and it's funny, Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com and I were talking afterwards, and afterwards, like, we were both like in chorus, like, man, this is gonna be really hard to manage. And I was like, yeah, the helmet rule. And then as I said the helmet rule, he was like, the catch rule. And we're like, oh, no, the NFL's probably inviting a lot more trouble on itself with all of these changes. And so we'll talk about the catch rule more. And Matt had a good point that, like, the catch rule is going to create more fumbles and less incompletions. That's a thing to watch for. Whenever something that looks like that would have been an incompletion last year might not be a fumble. But no, I'm burying the lead. The main prediction that I have for this season, based on the new rules and points of emphasis and everything, is that there are going to be riots in the streets, torches and pitchforks around the new helmet rules. Because here's the rule, as explained to me by NFL referee Bill Vinovich. If the crown of the helmet, and I had to ask for clarification immediately.
On what the crown is?
On what's the crown? Quick, Beards, put your hand on your head where you think the crown is. On your go.
Top.
You tap. Okay, so you basically tap the little
nub.
What is that? It has a name.
The dip.
The squatchy.
The what?
It's a squatchy. The thing on your top of your hat's called a squatchy.
Oh, that. Okay.
Beers basically tapped the squatchy on his baseball cap.
I was thinking that was like a part of the human skull, and I'm like, what?
Yes, it's the squatchy. It's the squatchy.
I don't remember this in science class.
Science is new now. We have new science, and now there's a squatchy.
They changed math.
They changed math, and then also biology. So that's, I think that's fair. If your eyes are at the ground, then that's largely for the safety of the defensive player. And
if you're a missile.
Yes, and get this Greenberg sound ready. Yeah. This is stunning. No, we won't play it right away. Just make sure you have it up.
It's ready.
Mike Greenberg on Get Up this morning had a great perspective on this that I like. It was good enough for me to share on this show. I don't think I've quoted Mike Greenberg positively one time in my entire life, mostly because, well, not in my entire life. I used to love Mike and Mike, and then I got a better taste in radio shows. I respect both of them. Greenberg seemed like a smart dude. I just never really listened to him anywhere, but I saw this pop up on Facebook, and I'll play the audio here in a second. But it's largely for the safety of the defensive players, and also in some cases for the running backs. If Adrian Peterson was in his prime right now, he would probably be facing an ejection in a couple of instances in his game. An ejection. Certainly a penalty. But here's the thing about the helmet rule, where again, I wish I would have said this 10 minutes ago instead of just now, because this is the hook. And I think this is going to blow your mind if you don't already know this. If you lead with your helmet, the crown of your helmet, which again, I had to ask for clarification. If you hit an opposing player anywhere with the crown of your helmet, it's a penalty and it could be an ejection. If you go crown of the helmet to a guy's shoulder or elbow or knee or shin or foot or crotch or back or torso or neck or head, 15. Anywhere. And that's a crazy evolution to the sport. And there are going to be so many, hey, that's a foul, or that's not a foul calls, constantly. I asked Vinovich, and actually I have audio of it, but I forgot to cut it before the show today, so I'll try to sound far away from the microphone and distorted in a way that is what Vinovich sounds like. So how many, no, I'm just going to tell you what I said. I said, how many times, if these rules would have been in place last year, and this is subjective, but in your opinion, if this rule would have been in place last year, how many times a game, a week, really a game, because I think multiple times a game is the truth. How many times a game would there have been a penalty flag thrown for an illegal helmet leading hit? He said he didn't know. He said there was a place I could contact that I'm going to try to get in touch with, try to get that number. But I saw the video. I'm dead serious. Every single drive of NFL football last year, you could call one of these. Because whenever he described the crown of the helmet and they showed, or they didn't, I don't know if they showed, they mentioned the Ryan Shazier play. That's one thing. But there were other instances. Also, if you go crown of the helmet into a guy's chest, I don't think that should be a penalty. But even if it is, calling that consistently is going to be brutal. It's going to be impossible. It's also probably good for the game, which we'll hear in a second. But whenever the other question that I asked to Vinovich was, is there a metric? Is there a number of degrees, and I use those specifics. I said, is there an angle that you're looking for when a hit goes from legal to illegal? As far as, you know, hitting with the Riddell bumper on the front of your helmet, or, you know, hitting with your forehead or hitting with the top of your head, whatever. And that's whenever he used, for the first time, I may add, the crown of the helmet. Because even that, I don't think is specifically in the language, or at least it wasn't in the video that we saw or in his initial explanation of it all. And so there are some where I think you can say, oh, obviously now with the new rule, that's a penalty and it could be an ejection, a sort of targeting rule. And I would say at this point, another prediction, any contact, whenever two helmets touch between a ball carrier and a tackler, someone's going to get a flag thrown on them. Like anything other than anything that looks like helmet to helmet contact is going to get a flag. But anything that looks like helmet, like crown of the helmet to anything contact, is now a foul. And I'm just worried about what it's going to do for the game. I'm also not here to say that the NFL needs to be protected by me or anyone in the media. Maybe I should, instead of saying the game, maybe I should say I'm worried about what it's going to do to the games. Because I'm not really worried about the health of the sport at this point. And in fact, this is probably the right investment in the health of the sport. So I'd like to pluralize what I said 10 seconds ago. I wonder what this is going to do to the games. Because if every infraction of this new rule is called, every team's going to end with like 15 eligible guys that can play on defense, as opposed to the 25 they may have started with. And if it's not really called, then this is all posturing and something the NFL's doing in a CYA move. And so I just have a lot of questions about it that we can't possibly know yet. But I thought Mike Greenberg on Get Up on ESPN this morning had a really good way of looking at this that I simply hadn't thought of. Listen to what Greeny explained.
Everyone is going to yell and scream, oh, you can't do this, and the players can't adjust, and it's unfair and all of that. But just stop for a moment and consider why they're doing this. You heard me in the little wake up there, a little open that we do, saying the game as it is currently being played is not sustainable long term. It's not my opinion. I'm not telling you I think that. They're telling you that. This is why they're doing this. They don't want to take this out of football. They used to sell DVDs with pictures of the video of the biggest hits. That was a big part of the selling of the game. They're taking this out of the sport because they have no choice. So if players are upset about it, they're going to have to adjust. Because the reality is the people who run the National Football League are telling you with their actions. They're not going to say this in words, but they're telling you with their actions. We cannot go on this way. And so, A, I understand why they're doing it, and B, if you consider what that means, it is actually a very profound thing. It is a genuine concern for pro football, and they have to make these changes.
It's really interesting. That's a really interesting way of looking at it that I simply hadn't figured out, I hadn't thought of yet. The NFL does not want to do this. This isn't a rule that they want to put in play or a play they want to take out of the game. The NFL feels like they have no choice. And that's probably for the best. That's probably good that they're doing it. This is probably best, if not for the health of the sport or the health of the individual games, but for the health of the players. It's probably the right move. It makes sense, and it's something that I don't want to say it should be commended, but it should be understood that way. And I hadn't really thought about it like that. This is something the NFL feels that it needs to do. Otherwise, the game's going to start going the way of boxing. It's going to start going extinct in that way. Now, the one thing, though, that this doesn't address is the offensive linemen who are constantly banging heads together like what, 100 times a game, 80 times a game? That's going to be something that they're eventually, I would say within the next 5 years, they probably just eliminate the 3-point stance or 4-point stances. And a lot of teams do a lot of that anyway, where the offensive linemen especially just stay on 2 feet, but they're going to have to probably also do that for defensive linemen, I would think, to make that even any sort of fair and reasonable. Otherwise, a lineman shot out of a cannon is going to blow over the guard on his 2 feet. So I don't know. That's sort of a guess. That seems like a plausible future thing where maybe that's the next step to try to help the health of the linemen. But this seems about right. And it's going to make, again, I want to change the language slightly. It's going to hurt the individual games, at least in the short term. And there are a whole bunch of like backups to this where they can go to New York for, you know, the big from the top reviews of stuff. And New York can undo an ejection if they look at the replay there and they determine that it should not have been an ejection-worthy call. but they can't eject a player that was not ejected on a football play. However, they can eject someone from New York on a non-football act, which, like Gronkowski, whenever he elbow-dropped that Bills player last year who was on the ground, he just came through and gave him a flying cyborg elbow to the back of the head. That you could eject for, because it's not a football play. It's all convoluted. There are interns. The word he used was interns in New York watching each of the games that sort of could, like, call the refs over. I think it's Al Riveron. He said Al. Beard just made a face because that's the face that I made also. That's why I wrote down the word interns in all caps. I was taking notes while he was talking. I imagine also that for them, interns means like pretty highly trained and pretty lowly paid people. But dude, you couldn't find 10 former refs to watch the game? You couldn't give Mike Carey like $10,000 a week or something? That's probably too much. I don't know.
I was going to say that's what they're all doing. That's what all the refs are doing now, the former refs.
It would make sense. But apparently not. They're doing, you're giving it to interns. Or get a bunch of college refs or
a bunch of urchins.
See, I feel like that's moving in the wrong direction. By the way, the urchin has a Twitter account now that neither are near Beards nor I were involved in. Dick___justice. We know. We have to
manage that because obviously he doesn't have opposable thumbs.
Exactly. So he talks to us and then we tweet it out.
Yeah.
The urchin apparently created his own account. Is it at @AES_urchin?
I think so. I think he just snuck out of the cupboard and just got on one of these computers here, which is surprising because these computers are slow.
Yeah, I think he must. Yeah, overnight he must have come out of his cupboard. It's not. And hold on, now I've lost it. You're gonna have to find it for me, Beards.
The urchin.
Huh?
The urchin.
Yeah. What's his Twitter account?
AES urchin. No underscore. There's an underscore in his name, but not in the
weird
handle.
So I'm guessing the urchin busted out of his cabinet last night, and. Hopped up on one of these computers in here. And it's probably why he only has like 3 or 4 tweets.
Because it took him all night to tweet those.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, he's not that literate. I don't know if he was able to like actually spell that well, but that does explain kind of like why the keyboards were covered in like sadness.
That does make sense. And then also like Cheeto dust, but like not from eating Cheetos, but from eating the dust out of a bag of Cheetos that was thrown into the trash last night. My favorite tweet was the first one. And you just said, I'm really hungry, guys. This Doom CD hurts my tooth. Did you realize the first time you heard it, Beard, that it said tooth? It's very funny. Also, weirdly, the urchin retweeted, like, Seth Kaiser and BJ Kissel on a couple of very Chiefy tweets. So I don't know exactly what's going on.
I mean, he's probably a Chiefs fan.
I guess that's true. I love even just like the bio is very good. Like, please, I have to give out news or they don't feed me. I'm so very hungry. Yeah, I love the idea of all of the characters on this show eventually. I feel like this is a new thing as far as sports radio and Twitter and social media and everything. I think we can probably be like the first radio show to have our characters have their own Twitter handles, like operated by us or others. We have to operate Dick Justice's because opposable
obvious
thumbs.
Reasons. Yeah.
Also, his little plush hands don't hit any touchscreen boards.
No, it's a little difficult.
So he can type his own, but he has to find an actual keyboard, and it's just kind of a whole to do. So he just tells us what to do.
Also, it takes a really long time to type anything out when you're just using your nose to punch the keys
exactly
on the keyboard.
Exactly, exactly. And it's really hard to, like, capitalize anything.
No, it's really difficult.
Yeah,
I mean, even for a wiener dog who can, like, stretch yourself out over all the keys, it's difficult.
Yeah, he would be the one that would have the best chance, I would think, because you could just put a foot on shift. But he's also not very heavy.
No.
I don't know. He's got to have to, really has to get a lot of force in there. Yeah, so I really like go follow AES Urchin on Twitter and Dick____justice. And I guess @BeardsMcFly. Definitely @JBBriscoe. Definitely not @CCarlinKC.
@BradleyBriscoe.
We need to have a whole list. I need to put together a list of
who you should follow
AES
and who you should
Twitter
not
accounts. not even just no, just like a list, just like because people, you know, people put lists together. I'll put a public list together of just almost entirely sports accounts, and it'll be all of us and the urchin and Dick underscore 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 justice and at Bradley Briscoe, and then like evil Kent Swanson.
I forgot about him.
No, there's evil Seth Kaiser. We need to figure
out. That's what I meant.
I need to figure out how to put in the list to block Kent Swanson. Like I need to put the coding together. You need to follow all. Maybe I'll put that in the description. I'll work on that.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I very rarely know what I'm going to say before I say one of those dumb things.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
You heard there that you can always listen to the show, watch the show on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. We love it whenever you do that. It's a great place to interact. You can leave a comment, say whatever you want, sort of like Brian, who has asked, how is this show not canceled?
We don't know.
Because people like it, Brian. So we work hard on it and think it's a good show, Brian. Thanks for watching, Brian. I appreciate it. Honestly, also, if you're enjoying the show on Facebook, you can follow in the footsteps of Raheem, who just left us three heart-eyed emojis, which makes me very happy, or Nicholas, who started off with a wave. Hello, Nicholas. Hello, Raheem. Please leave emojis. Give us a like. Give it a little, one of the little laughing things. You can do it on the video in the bottom right corner. You can leave the like emoji reactions live in the thing, or you can leave them in the comments. Honestly, again, here's the thing. Can I be really honest with you, listener? Can I be honest with you about a handful of things? This is something that I've realized more recently than ever. I think we're doing pretty good with this show at being a good, at least entertaining show, right?
Wow.
Entertaining. I think we're pretty good at doing an entertaining show. I'm not even saying entertaining sports show. I think we're doing an entertaining show. John, give us a thumbs up. Thanks, John.
Because there are no sports going on right now that are good.
We just spent 30 minutes on the NFL's helmet rule. Bleep out of here.
Well, they're finally getting here.
Yes. But I think we're doing a pretty good job of having an entertaining show. I'll say this honestly. I'm more confident in the product as it currently exists than I have ever been in the history of this show. I think that it's getting better as we go. And I feel good about that. So now it's about getting this show to the masses, which is when you, viewer or listener, this is when you get important. Because we can't force people to listen to this show. So whenever you comment on the Facebook videos, or you share the Facebook videos, or you like them, or you just leave emojis, or you tell us that the show should be canceled. But if you do it in a comment form, or if you leave a review on the podcast page on iTunes, if that's for Almost Entirely Sports, or if you listen through Ref and the Kicker, or you listen to Ref and the Kicker, and then you should start coming and listening to the whole show through Almost Entirely Sports. However it is that you follow the show, listen to the show, watch the show, whatever, if you leave comments and ratings and reviews and you say things and share it with people that think you also might think that would enjoy the sense of humor of it or the content or whatever, when you do that, that's how this show finds new people and then eventually hopefully grows in a way that makes the show actually better. So please don't think of us as that indie band that you want to keep to yourself. Think about how much cooler it would be to have discovered My Chemical Romance, which I don't know why we're My Chemical Romance. I don't know why that was the first band. The first band I thought of was Imagine Dragons, but I didn't want to be Imagine Dragons
No,
either.
No, I'm good with that then.
So, you know, think of how much cooler it's going to be whenever you can tell people, hey, are you listening to this show? And then in 10 years, we'll be exactly the same size. But you tried. I don't want to, like, panhandle for ratings and reviews and shares and likes and everything. It makes me feel icky.
But
it is the game that we're all playing. So, that's all. And I'm not going to tell you have to do it. You don't have to. You can just watch it. I appreciate if you're watching
and we need
or listening.
And we need to eat sometime soon. Otherwise, we'll just be joining the urchin.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Hey Beards, ask me how it's going.
How's it going, Josh?
Moved back into my parents' house yesterday.
Woo!
You know what I've eaten today?
What?
I've drank this tea that that Renee brought me a couple days ago. I had and then I had food from my parents' house. How about you? How's your living situation?
You know.
You still enjoying your roommates/parents?
Yeah.
Good.
Speaking of which, real quick.
Sure.
You remember how last week Renee came by for a little bit?
Yes.
And she brought me two Cherry Cokes?
Yes.
So I drank one of them here.
No.
I put the other one in the fridge at home.
Oh.
And then
last
night I came home and it was sitting on the counter, open and completely drunk.
Wow, the Cherry Coke got wasted. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It got super drunk.
I mean, yeah. It got
just stumbling around, cursing, calling people names.
Somebody enjoyed it. It just wasn't me.
Oh, someone drank it. Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Wow.
It's like I live at the station.
That's oh God. You are the urchin. You've become the urchin. We are all urchin. We are legion.
I'm gonna have to send out an email. Enough is enough.
Let's say they didn't open it and take a drink and put it back, which is apparently something that actually happened here at the station fridge one time.
Yes.
Someone cracked open. Actually, I saw this myself.
Well, no, they opened
a bottle
already,
of water.
Already opened Cokes and drank those.
Oh, really?
That's what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross. I saw a bottle of water in there at one point where someone said, "Hope you enjoy the sip of water. You can just have the rest now." The post, a very sarcastic post-it note on the top of the bottle. That one was snarky. Yeah, okay, so that's the end of me telling you to share the show. Just if you like it, share it. If not, if you don't like it that much, that's totally fine. But that's our challenge at this point. The show's getting better. The reach is getting hopefully larger. We'll see. But the more the merrier, you know? I wanted to talk about a couple of Chiefs things because I was at camp on Saturday and we've seen some things come through the last couple days. I'm willing to say definitively that the Chiefs are going to go 16-0. Or 0-16. It depends on your point of view. The good news is that we only need to watch the first game of the season, because if they win or lose at the Chargers, we know the next 15 games are going to go the same direction. Because they're either going to go 16-0 or 0-16. That part is definitive. I have no doubt in my mind. 16-0 or 0-16, no middle ground. Because, like, oh, God, like, Patrick Mahomes has thrown two interceptions at David Amerson. And I want to fling myself out of this second-story window to not my death, just a slight discomfort probably upon landing. Maybe a couple broken legs. More than slight discomfort. Unless that's good news. Because, David Amerson. Yeah. Hey, he's basically picking off Aaron Rodgers in training camp. Hell yeah, David Amerson. Or Patrick Mahomes is the worst quarterback in football because he's throwing interceptions at David Amerson in training camp. So it's 16-0 or 0-16. I can't tell yet, but I'll know after week one. And honestly, one thing about the secondary that I do feel good about is that we have seen, I think, the best example of what the Chiefs' plan with the secondary is going to be, which is that Kendall Fuller and Steven Nelson are playing outside. And by the way, Steven Nelson's having a nice camp so far. Now, if I had a nickel for every time a guy has had a nice camp and then done basically jack bleep during the season, then I would have enough money to eat more than my parents' food and this tea that Renee bought for me. So I'd love to have a nickel for every time someone had a great camp and then didn't do anything in the league. But Steven Nelson's looking good. I'm starting to believe that he's got number two corner stuff. I still feel like that's about the ceiling. I feel like it's probably about there. I don't think he can be Marcus Peters. But I think he's a top flight number two corner in his potential and a lower end number two and I guess sort of a mid-level number two guy, most likely. It could be a little bit lower than that. But I feel like his variance is starting to narrow a little bit, which is good news for the Chiefs. Because the biggest concern is that he stinks. And if he can be great, wonderful. But I think he could be a nice number two corner. But so whenever Nelson and Fuller are out there, they are the two that are out there on either side. And then whenever they go into a sub package, which is going to be from Andy Reid's own words, actually, on Saturday, something like 70% of the time. I can't remember if he said 70 or 75, but the Chiefs are going to have three corners out on the field a significant amount of time. And so, as Fuller is out there while Amerson and Nelson are also out there,
Fuller gets bumped into the slot, which is something that we've done a lot of guesswork around, and something that now I actually feel pretty good about. I feel better about the Chiefs' corner situation because I think they're doing the most logical thing. Kendall Fuller is an incredible slot corner, one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. However, you're not always going to need a slot corner. Also, I've been railing against this for the last few days especially, having a guy as a slot corner does not mean he is your third corner. That might be the most difficult position in the league to cover, especially as slot receivers mean less and less Wes Welker and more Rob Gronkowski. And oftentimes, it's just a team's straight-up number one receiver. And so Fuller is tremendous in that position. So I love that he's moving in whenever that is a position that you need to fill. It makes the most sense. Also, there's a Blue Beetle pest control commercial on the TV in front of me that had a man in a mouse costume eating snacks in a closet. It's gone now, but I wish I could have screen capped that for all of time, because it was horrifying. Very distracting. I love that Fuller is going to be moved into the slot. I feel good about him being able to be his own outside number one corner also. I think he's got the traits for that. I would still love to see Bashaud Breeland move in and take David Amerson's role of playing 70-75% of the snaps. I don't know if Breeland's going to want to come do that. I'm not sure the Chiefs would give him Steven Nelson's role and move Nelson to the three at this point. That would also be fine with me, but I don't know if the Chiefs would do that, and I think that Breeland would probably rather be the number two guy somewhere. He is still not signed, by the way. The last thing I had heard, we were expecting a decision by Saturday, and he is not here. Or anywhere, officially. But I'm starting to feel better about the secondary. The thing that I was most concerned about coming into this year, still am the most concerned about, I'm starting to feel a little bit better because I'm seeing what they're doing with Fuller, and I like it. I'm seeing more of Fuller, and I like it. I'm seeing more of Steven Nelson and feeling pretty good about it. Better, at least. Amerson, I don't know about. He's picked off Pat Mahomes twice in training camp. That's got to be good for something. Or maybe Patrick Mahomes is a terrible quarterback and should be traded for a fifth or sixth round pick, and the Chiefs just draft another quarterback next year. Just start over. Blow it up. Start from ground zero. Back to the drawing board. Just go with Chad Henne. Somebody on Andy Reid's press conference yesterday commented on the... Actually, it might have been this morning. I think it was this morning. Commented on the video of Andy Reid talking to the media and just said, if you want to succeed, start... It might have been win. I don't know. If you want to win, start Henne. Or if you want to do winning, start Henne. It was something that sort of rhymed a little bit. And it was probably a joke, but I would prefer to imagine that he just really loves Chad Henne. Maybe it was a guy who just really loved Alex Smith and then feels like that Chad Henne is more Alex than Patrick Mahomes is, which might be true. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly where that's coming from. But it's kind of amazing either way. If you have any questions about anything Chiefs-related or NFL rules-related or anything from anything in this first segment, comment them right now. Paul says, keep drinking the Kool-Aid. I am chugging the Kool-Aid. I am cracking open the fire hydrant and sticking my head above it. And what's coming out? What's that coming out of the fire hydrant? Oh, is that Kool-Aid? Yeah, yes, please. Right here. Down the hatch. Thank you.
Kool-Aid. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Tomorrow we'll start by talking about what I would do if I was in Andy Reid's shoes. First of all, I'd buy smaller shoes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Donuts.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Cha-cha. Cha-cha. All right, nobody commented on the Facebook page, I'm guessing, right? Because if not, don't worry, I have a backup plan. Nope, we're good. Okay, good. I feel a freedom to read you an awesome quote. First, though, AES Urchin tweeted, "It seriously hurts my tooth. I only have one because Beards McFly keeps kicking me in the head. Hashtag, I'm so very hungry." And this is such a dark Twitter account.
It's very dark.
Especially if you don't listen to the show. Also, he responded to my tweet about having Seth Kizer on tomorrow to talk about this new column here for The Athletic about the Chiefs adopting a very, very pass-heavy offense, which I'm thrilled about. We'll talk to him about that article tomorrow. But the urchin responded, "I'm waiting until the day Seth gets so confused that I can sneak into his family and be kid 5001. At least he will feed me." And then Seth responded with, "Indeed, we only starve the children on alternating days." So, yeah, if Seth wouldn't notice that, I think once you've gotten to 5,000, I think you don't really notice one more covered in mud with one tooth. But here's my favorite thing that I've seen on Twitter in a good long while. The tweet from Ryan Perez says, "Has Tom Cruise seen a movie? ? Has Tom Cruise seen a movie?" Now, it's an excerpt from a magazine. And it's a question and answer. The question says, "Do you have a most memorable movie-going experience?" Presumably here to Tom Cruise. Let me read you Tom Cruise's answer to, "Do you have a most memorable movie-going experience?" Are you ready?
Yes.
Boy, that's hard to say because I can basically look at my whole life in terms of films I've seen. To just name one, there's so many films that have been memorable to me. I love movies. I can remember since I was a little kid going to the theater or drive-in and what it meant to me. When the lights go down and I'm just taken on a journey, going to places that I didn't even know existed or different worlds that I wish were real. Incredible adventures. Drama. Comedy. That's what I love. I love the cinema experience. I prefer it with a packed audience. That's what we dream about when we're making these films, too. Thinking of the group experience. There's nothing like it and nothing like seeing it on a big screen with great sound and exactly the way it was meant to be. That has never changed for me. I love it."
So what he's saying is, I like watching my own movies, but I don't want to say anything about it because then it makes me seem like an...
I don't know. That's his answer to the question. Do you have a most memorable movie-going experience?
So many memories, man. So many memories.
Like, I know everybody does a discount Donald Trump impression at this point, but this read, like, did you see a clip of Trump being asked about Brexit? And he just talked, no. He just goes like, I bleep you not. He ends by talking about how he owns property in the UK. His answer to what do you think about Brexit? He goes, "I don't really know about Brexit. Listen, it's very complicated. I'm not going to tell them how to do. But you know, my father was born in Switzerland or something. I don't know, or Sweden, and I own a lot of property over in the UK. It's very beautiful. I'm sure they're going to do the very best thing that they can do to have the best UK, which stands for United Kingdom, by the way. I think he actually just clarified that. I don't think I made that up. It's a very beautiful Brexit, Brexit, Brexit." If you with that, this is the same answer.
But no, yeah, he doesn't have an answer there.
There's no answer. Donald Trump doesn't know about Brexit, and Tom Cruise has never seen a movie.
So what's your favorite movie-going experience?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Boy, it's just hard to say because I can basically look at my whole life in terms of films I've seen. To name just one, there's so many films that have been memorable to me. I love movies. I can remember since I was a little kid going to the theater, the drive-in, and what it meant to me. When the lights go down, and I'm just taking on a journey, going to places that I didn't even know existed, the different worlds that I wish were real, incredible adventures, drama, comedy. That's what I love. I love the cinema experience. I prefer it with a packed audience. That's what we dream about when we're making these films, too. Thinking about the group experience. There's nothing like it, nothing like seeing on a big screen with great sound exactly the way it was meant to be. That has never changed for me. I love it. I own lots of movie theaters. Brexit. I'd love it.
And now your fake answer is?
You want my actual answer?
Sure.
I remember seeing Amazing Spider-Man 2 in a drive-thru that was very cool and very retro. Cause like, just, like, you had the speaker like in your window. That was cool. I've seen lots of movies, though. I love movies. Listen, drama, comedy, I love it. I love the shared experience. The worst movie experience I've had is seeing 2012 in theaters. It was not worth it.
Ooh.
That movie was a disaster. I'll talk about that every time.
It was a disaster movie.
It was. They could have made a movie about watching the movie that would have been a better disaster movie. It would have been a disaster movie. Yeah. That's it. Nailed it. That was amazing. There's nothing there. Oh, this little... AES urchin. Alternating days, that's heaven. Josh only feeds me once a month. The only reason I'm still alive is because I steal Japanese snacks.
Did you break into the crickets yet?
Sorry, Brent just said, you watched a movie in a drive-thru? I meant drive-in. Y'all have a number four. And oh my God, they killed Gwen Stacy.
Haven't we had the drive-thru movie discussion before? Didn't we try and make a drive-thru movie?
I think we might have.
Yeah, I think we did.
I feel like callback. That's a half-remembered dream. How freaking long? Good luck. Wow.
Yeah, we did do that.
We lost the lights outside at 4:56.
Man, they're leaving early today.
Closing up shop early. Good God. Yeah, wow, man. That's so long ago. Again, that is a half-remembered dream that we at one point talked about the loose concept of a drive-thru movie.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, probably.
I remember that.
Tell me one detail about it.
Oh, I can't do that.
I don't have any idea. Oh, that's tremendous. I love movies, drama, comedy, Chiefs, helmet to helmet, contact, almost entirely sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.